The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker show on Biz Radio, Kent Business Radio, and channelradio.co.uk/2 on Tuesday, the 28th of November. Why are you laughing at me?
Because you look dodgy.
I look dodgy.
Yeah. You're all like talking out the side of your mouth.
I'm talking out the side of my mouth. It's because my arm's in the way of my microphone and I'm trying to switch off the auto at the same time as talking. That's why.
Very funny.
Well, thank you for giving away my secrets.
Right. That's right.
The whole point of me being on radio is nobody can see what I'm doing. That's
very
the whole point.
I was just
absolutely.
Laughing.
The
you
fact that I'm just wearing a string vest sat here is neither here nor there.
You can't ask me what I'm laughing at then and not expect an answer, can you?
No, that's true.
Can you still wear string vests?
Sorry?
Can you still buy string vests? I think they should be banned.
Yeah, no, you can buy them in job lots.
Clearly, Primark. He's wearing one.
Yeah, clearly, can't you see? No, she's looking through the holes and not at the vest. That's the thing.
That could be from your 1950s wardrobe, Paul.
Exactly, yeah. There's something in the back there anyway. Welcome back. We've still got loads of tweets, loads of emails, and we've got another guest to talk to as well. So everything to play for in the second hour of the show. And welcome back to the Business Bunker Show. Thank you for joining us on this Tuesday, the 28th of November. It's almost time for...
Buddy the Elf, what's your favourite colour? I'm so excited. I can't tell you. I just love it. I love it. Is it just me?
She has Buddy the Elf on continual loop for a month now. Yeah.
It will be every time you... If you ring me... Linda Gossier.
I'm not going to call you, Bert.
I'm going to go, the first thing I say, regardless of whether it's business or not, I'm not apologetic about this. I'm unapologetic, in fact. I don't mind if it's business or pleasure. I'll go, Buddy the Elf, what's your favourite colour?
Now, you see, if you had an Agilis mobile, you could have that as your answer phone message, couldn't you?
You
could. Couldn't she?
Yeah. All my contacts,
are we going to get an explanation?
Well, it depends if you wanted all your contacts to hear that, yes.
I do.
She does. She wants the whole world to hear this.
There you go. Yeah.
You don't know what that's from, Linda Garcia from Alexi Consulting.
I have no idea. Should I be embarrassed that I don't have
yes.
it?
Yes, yes, yes.
Should I be
yes.
proud of
yes.
the fact that
yeah.
I don't
no,
watch
don't
this
you
trivia?
Don't. No, it's not trivia at all, is no. it?
Where's it from?
Mr. Andrews.
It's from a movie, Buddy the Elf.
What's your favourite colour? The Elf. Elf. What are you, where have you yeah. been? Mm.
Deepest, darkest South America.
They have it down there.
Elves are wearing swimming trunks.
Buddy was in charge of Santa's call centre.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Cool. And that's his call centre message.
You've just got to watch it because it's the greatest movie to get into the Christmas cheer, Linda.
I'll do that on the 1st of December.
Absolutely.
Exactly. So if you think...
She's ordered a turkey and a...
I know. Yeah. It's really important to order your turkey. Have you got a film that you think, oh my God, that is the epiphany of Christmas?
Well,
Grinch.
As you know, this is a bit sad. As you know, I lost my dad earlier in this year, which was sad. And my dad used to go on every year about this won't mean anything to anybody. About the African Queen, which was a Humphrey Bogart film.
We've all heard of it.
Yes.
And my dad used to go loopy about it. He'd go, every year, it's the African Queen. And I actually did some research once, and they actually hadn't shown the African Queen for about 25 years on television.
Yeah.
But every year he used to have a rant about it. So I actually bought him a DVD copy of it, which he never watched, of course.
But that's really interesting, because do you remember Dr. Zhivago used to be on as and then Gone with the Wind?
And
they've stopped doing them all.
A Wonderful Life.
It's my favourite.
I like A Wonderful Life.
Oh, it's so beautiful. He's beautiful. Anyway. So
there
yes,
you go.
It's very, very
anyway, cool. Apparently it's approaching Christmas, according to Bird.
Yeah.
And we'll believe her. I've had loads of tweets.
All in sight in this studio.
No, Bird. We've got Wilf, though.
Mm. We have a Wilf.
A Wilf. It's a mobile phone. What do you call him?
Wilf needs a little red Santa's hat.
Right.
He does, doesn't he?
We'll take a picture of Wilf and post it, will we? Yeah.
We will.
I don't know what you call it. It's a mobile phone stand, isn't it?
It's a red
it's
one.
A bit of fun.
The red Wilf looks far more Christmassy.
Put them all together.
We've had loads more tweets still coming in. I had a tweet from Design Point. Big shout out today, please, on the Business Bunker, Paul, for Steve at Design Point. Have a great show. Currently offering creative support to Eleanor, the local hospice, on their fundraising campaign. So fantastic. Thanks, Steve. Thanks for asking for the shout out. Always happy to give a shout out. Design Point are graphic design and printing specialists. And you can follow them on the Twitter, and their Twitter handle is Des, DES_Point. Des Point.
Well, this is a bit cheeky. a Gillis mobile.
Mm. What's that?
Have you seen this? So the team are listening in the office, working hard.
Hi, team.
Can we have a shout out, please? You have just had your shout out at Gillis mobile. Like, you haven't been enough on the show today. Isn't it?
Yeah.
I love it.
Who are they?
Gillis. Apparently they do something with mobiles.
We've had, talking about your staff tweeting in, mine are at it as well. Fruitworks, looking forward to listening to the second half of the Business Punk show. Would love a shout out, please, Vanilla Web. We are launching a brand new hot desk in it, are we?
Yes, we are.
You must apparently have signed the purchase order.
Yeah, yeah. We're launching a brand new hot desk in here on the 11th of December. Watch this space. Well, I'm really interested. I might pop in tomorrow and see what that's all about.
Here, what's a hot desk?
If there's room for me.
What, on the hot desk?
On the hot desk, yeah.
What is a hot desk?
It's your hot desking space that we offer. So basically, you can come and use a desk. As a member, you just come and rock up and use a desk for the day.
See what I did there for you?
Yeah, and it was really good. You set me up for that, didn't you?
Yeah.
I nearly didn't know what it was, though.
No, I don't,
the
I wasn't.
Principle being that if you've sat there for a couple of hours, the seat is then hot for the next person.
Exactly, yeah.
That's not a nice image, though, is it?
No. Yeah.
Well, imagine hot bedding.
Yeah. Anyway, apparently, we're opening a new area on the 11th of December. There you go.
Essex. Cool.
Give them a follow. Fruitworks CO. Come and see us. What?
How is Fruitworks going?
Yeah,
why are you not doing any more networking? Everybody always said to me that they love the networking.
I love the networking.
Exactly. Fruitworks?
Yeah.
Well, since we opened a cafe and a coffee shop, what we have on a Thursday every night now, we have performance technology.
Well, I missed that one.
Yeah.
We're
in conjunction with a group called Free Range. They're a small theatre troupe and they stage little plays, performance poetry, piano recitals, stand-up comedy, improv, every Thursday night. No, every Thursday night, Free Range.
Didn't get it out there, mate.
In Fruitworks.
I was doing it now.
Yeah. I will go back to offering Fruitworks Create, but because we've been rebuilding everything and we've quintupled the size of the space, we're now 7,500 square feet, while Jamie was busily building it and falling off a ladder and breaking his arm and all the rest of it, we didn't have the space to do it. But we will come back to it. We will be doing Create in 2018. Yep. Apparently we're opening a new hot desking space. You're doing something every day on this show, even about your own business.
You need to talk to me, Paul.
Yeah.
So let's talk about tomorrow, Thursday. I keep saying tomorrow and I keep thinking tomorrow's Thursday, but it's not.
No, I'll tell you what's happening tomorrow.
It's my show.
It's your show tomorrow.
You've got listening. It's
who's
amazing.
Guest?
Is
Buddy
Andy
the
Holland?
Elf?
No, I'd love him.
Could you imagine her with Buddy the Elf as a guest?
Will Farrell, can you imagine
it? Yeah, that would be mad, wouldn't it?
Come on. Will. You know you want to come on.
If Will Farrell, if Will Farrell did this, though, I couldn't have him be Buddy the Elf. He'd have to be the Anchorman, wouldn't he? Really?
I know. But I'd want to do the 7 What's One Who with him because I would love to go. Anyway, let's talk about Thursday because I think it's really important.
Yep.
So we keep saying about Grow Kent, but I just want to, because I've got the email here as well. So this is at Ashford International and I've looked at the website as well. Great lineup of speakers.
They're fantastic,
can I
isn't
just
it?
Say. Yeah. So what is Ashford International Hotel doing on Thursday the 30th at 8:30 till 4:30. It's the Business Growth Accelerator. 5 business growth experts reveal how to unlock accelerated growth for your business. I think it's really important to hear that because we don't really think about that enough. We just go, oh yeah, let's go and network. You've got to go and listen and action some of the stuff that they're talking about, accelerating the growth in your business. So if you're an owner or director of a small to medium-sized business, including startups who are frustrated by the lack of income and profit growth, you've got to go along. You have the most amazing speakers. Now, I've got them up and add it here. You've got James Sinclair. Did I mention that James Sinclair's on my show in a couple of weeks?
Oh, is he really?
Yeah, he's one of my guests on my show. I'm very excited.
You know he's been on the Bunker Show.
No, he hasn't been on the Bunker Show. He's only been in on the telephone.
Yeah, he was only on the phone.
Oh,
he
I've
wasn't
got him
in
live
studio.
In the studio
okay,
on the conversation on a Wednesday.
I'll let you have that
two.
One then. Yeah,
I can't wait because I'm hoping he'll bring in some gifts and everything. I'm going to mention it to him on Thursday when I see him. You've got Robert Clay, who we also had on, do you remember?
On the telephone.
Exactly, just saying. Then they've got Helena Panzerino, is that right?
Mm.
And she was the, she's going to be talking about business dummies and the funding for that. Then you've got Tony Messi, who's Pick a Web. And then you've got Derek Williams, who we've had on. We've had on Derek Williams as well, haven't we?
Sure.
Jeremy Nichols, hilarious speaker. You've got to go. And he's just, Jez is hilarious. I love him. Great speaker. You've got Barnaby Winter there. You've got loads and loads of speakers. So get yourself along. You've also got Mr. Paul Andrews, who's going to be chairing everything in the day and night. Is that right?
Yep.
Yep. There you go.
I'm hosting the breakfast. I'm chairing the Grey Kent event. And then, because I've got nothing better to do in the evening, I'm emceeing the awards ceremony.
Yeah.
I'm exhibiting.
Are you?
Typical.
There are a few exhibitors there.
And I want to talk to you about, when we interview you in a minute, it's about what you get out of exhibiting, because we've spoken about this personally and professionally. So it's really interesting why Linda decides to go along and do these days, isn't it, Linda?
Yes.
There we go. And we'll talk about it in a minute. So anyway, get yourself along. You can have teas and coffees. There's business networking. There's a business breakfast. There's conference. There's Mike Ogilvie talking about how to do networking, blah, 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 blah. Hundreds of pounds worth of gifts. So Ashford International, 8:30 till 4:30. But if you want to go to the breakfast, you need to go a little bit earlier, because obviously you'll miss it if you don't.
Yeah, because breakfast is at breakfast time, not
7:30,
lunch.
7:30, I think.
7:30. I think you need to have booked by now as well.
Sorry, breakfast starts at 7:15.
7:15.
There you go.
So listen, it starts when I say it starts. When I get there and I open the proceedings, if I don't oversleep.
So they've got a lot of the They've got a lot of the PSA there. So Mike Ogilvie used to be president of the PSA. It's a professional speaking association. Jeremy is president, or he was, of London. Mm. Check me out, no anymore.
Absolutely. Well, it shows you that this show is not just thrown together like people think it is, that it is actually produced within an inch of its life, and there is a plan. Because that leads me nicely into the email I'm just about to read, talking about professional speaking. Because in Tenterton, they have now opened a Tenterton Speakers Club.
Yeah. Have they?
Yeah. In the next event is on the 7th of December at 7:15 until 9:30, and it's at the Woolpack, which is in the High Street, Tenterton. Come and join us and improve your public speaking and leadership skills. We look forward to welcoming you. You can follow them on the Twitter at Tenterton Speaks.
It's really important to have a voice in your business. It so, is. Yeah, love it.
Mm. I've had a tweet as well from the lovely folks at the New Appointments Group. They made you laugh, didn't they on
did
Twitter?
Make me laugh.
Yeah. It says, afternoon, Paul and Bird. Loving the show. Can we have a big shout-out for New Appointments Group in Sittingbourne and in Sandwich? Finding people jobs for Xmas and beyond. Now, I nearly misread that as them wanting to find people to do sandwiches. But, of course, they're based at Discovery Park in Sandwich and in Sittingbourne. And they're finding people Xmas jobs that aren't doing sandwiches.
And I love that, because you've got people who literally want jobs for a certain time of the year,
absolutely.
Or a little bit of extra income. So that's why I said to them, I love what
absolutely.
They do.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, absolutely. And I love the folks at New Appointments Group. They're a really great bunch of people, and they're really, really good fun. And one of Kent's leading recruitment employment companies. So New Appointments Group, Sittingbourne and Discovery Park Sandwich. Give them a follow on the Twitter. Their Twitter handle is NAG, New Appointments Group, NAG. Oh, I've lost it now. Hold on. NAG Recruitment is their Twitter handle.
And you know, we produce this show and we... This
yeah, really, we work on it all week.
Together.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And we sit there and have meetings. So to go on from your Christmas theme, we've got Chamber Christmas event at Riverhill at December the 14th from 1 till 5. Now, that's a nice time, isn't it?
It is.
Yes. Yeah.
Not like...
Silly o'clock in the morning
Silly
and all
clocks.
That. Yeah.
We are delighted to invite you to join us on the 14th of December for the Sevenoaks and District Chamber of Commerce Christmas event. Members and guests will be part of this exclusive Alpine themed event. Can we go in our snowboarding gear?
Alpine. Well, I was rather hoping to wear lederhosen and then long socks myself, but there you go.
I'll go in my snowboarding gear, absolutely sweating with my snowboard attached on my feet. That'd
your
be
7
great.
Kilo vest.
No, I won't need to, love. I'll be wearing it all in my gear.
Dress up as an elf.
So, I know. A glass of wine with the meal for $49.95 for guests. So further drinks can be purchased, and it goes on. So you need to book on eventbrite.co.uk, and that's Chamber of Commerce Christmas event at Riverhill Tickets.
Now, that's scary. I've just got a tweet of me staring back at me. which made me jump. Yeah, it's Natalie Bonet tuned into the Business Bunker show with Vanilla Web. Nice to have on in the background, but of course she's got a picture of her computer with radio station on it, and it's got my fizzog right in the middle of it. So made me jump. And things coming up on the Romney Marsh as well. There's a new Romney Marsh networking group, and they've got some events coming up to Christmas. And the next one is Marsh Networking over Coffee on December the 6th, and that's at 10 a.m. at the newly refurbished New Romney Sinkport Arms. So do go along to that. If you want to book your place on any of this, if you go to bizradio.co.uk and click on the blog section, and there's a an entry for Marsh Networking, and it's got all of these listed, and you can book your place on it. So that's December the 6th at the Romney Sinkport Arms. It's really nice what they've done to it. They spent a lot of money on it. And then there's an after-hours networking on December the 13th at 5 p.m. at the Ship in Dimchurch, and they've refurbished that recently as well. There's a lot of pub refurbishments going on the Marsh.
Well, it's Christmas, isn't it?
Yeah. So... So, yeah, we're having the Channel Radio Christmas party in the Ship at Dimchurch as well, aren't we?
Look forward to it, Paul.
Yeah,
because it's absolutely. Christmas, Paul.
What?
It's because it's Christmas.
Is that why we're having a Christmas
That's
party?
Why we're having a
it's
Christmas
amazing
party.
How this all comes together, isn't it? That's just
anyone
pure...
think it was planned?
Yeah, exactly. It's just pure coincidence that it happened to be Christmas at the time we were having a Christmas party.
Go figure.
Unbelievable. Anyway, you can find out and book your place on the Marsh Networking things by going to bizradio.co.uk. Click on blogs and then click on Marsh Networking.
You know, when we started off and we were saying that, you know, Business Bunker, if you go on to, so if you forget about Business Bunker, we always are on Facebook Live about 15 minutes before doing a pre-show show. And then there's this, it just carries on. And we've got this little, it's been going on for years now, and we've been doing that. And we get thousands of people viewing it.
Yep.
And it's just, it's really funny because Telcare have just put, quick, it's nearly time for Business Bunker with him, Vanilla Webb, and her, Bird on a Bike. Always worth a listen. So people get our little, you know, our little ditties.
It's we eventually get into their heads and make them repeat things.
And that's what I love, is that through the show you get tweets upon tweets upon tweets. So it's worth giving us a shout out and just saying it, because we'll shout you out then.
Absolutely. Do you know, years ago, Jules and I did a thing about gilets. She got a big thing about gilets, you know, these sleeveless anoraks.
Oh, what we call gillets.
Yeah, that's it, a gilet. Yeah, you got it, a gillet. So after a few months of going on about gilets and gilets, gilet sales started to go through the roof. And we take full responsibility for that.
Absolutely. Yeah,
absolutely.
Nothing to do with North Face or anything like that.
No, it wouldn't be. No, absolutely not. Absolutely. I've had a tweet from Stu Weller. Stu Entertains is his Twitter handle, and he says, "Hi, Vanilla Webb, would love a shout out on the Business Bunker show today, please. Anyone looking for entertainment for Christmas parties should drop me a line." And his email address is magician@Stuart, that's with a UART, weller.co.uk. Your guests will love it, and you. And he's really good. He's a close-up magician. Really good fun. So give him a follow. If you need a magician for your Christmas party, here's your man.
Can I just talk about something, just quickly?
Very quickly, because we're going to talk to Linda.
Right, but I just wanted to ask you, really, how did the book launch go for Lisa Settle and her mum?
Oh, it was brilliant. Oh, it was absolutely brilliant. It really was good. Bless her cotton socks. Spanner in the Works is the name of the book. Eileen, I'm sorry, I don't know. Eileen's in her 80s, she must be.
Yeah.
And she's written this book about her childhood in growing up in the 30s in the East End, called Spanner in the Works. Brilliant book. The launch was lovely. You know, I presented the launch and stuff like that. It was great. It really was. We had a Pearly King and Queen there, and we had a right old Ding Dong Knees Up, Call Blimey Strike a Light Down the Apple and Toad.
Yeah.
No, we did.
No.
We sang all the songs.
Yeah, yeah.
Any Old Iron.
Oh,
yeah.
Lovely.
Yeah.
Did I tell you she's on my show soon?
Who, Eileen? Is she really?
Seriously.
Oh,
Lisa
bless
and
her.
Eileen are coming on to do some PR. For marketing her book. We're going to go deep into what her was saying, you know, the whole conversation about
no, absolutely.
Her and her book and everything.
No, the book's really brilliant. And I might be making this up. I probably am, but I'm good with numbers like that. I think she sold something like 40 copies of the book on the night.
That's good.
Yeah. And she was sat there, bless her, signing books and posing for photographs and all the rest. It was really good. It was a really good evening. It was really cracker. It was a real cracker. Yeah.
Life can start at 80.
Yeah, absolutely. It just shows you, doesn't it?
And also what it's at least...
I'm gearing up for that, to be honest.
What Lisa was saying to me was that actually the relationship that they then built together doing the process of writing the book together is... And that's what we're going to talk about on the conversation with them. And I remember I just saw a photo of Lisa, so I just wanted to ask how it went.
No, it was good.
Good.
It was really good. I really enjoyed it. It was a really cracking evening. Really good fun.
Good.
Do you know what we're going to do now?
I'd like to hear about it.
I think we're going to talk to our next guest. It's an absolute pleasure to welcome back. You have been on before, haven't you, Linda?
I have.
It's an absolute pleasure to welcome back Linda Garcia of Aluxide Consulting.
Thank you very much, Paul.
And the Star
good
Trek,
afternoon, everybody.
And the Starship Enterprise. That's an in-joke because you can't see her. She's got a little thing around her neck that just reminded me of the starship.
Look at the post-show photo.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. That was really rude of me, wasn't it? I shouldn't really do that.
I'm
anyway,
used to it, Paul.
Yeah, I know. Linda, welcome to the show. Thank you so much for joining us again. Why don't we kick off before we get into an argument? but just give us an overview of what Linda and Aluxi Consultant do.
Well, Aluxi Consulting is putting productivity back on the map.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't just mean time management.
Mm.
I'm really trying to help businesses understand what the true productivity measurement is, which is quite high up on the government's agenda at the moment, seeing as we've been slacking behind the rest of our G7 counterparts, as well as Japan, which isn't difficult because not many countries can overtake Japan in their productivity stakes. Let's face it, they invented productivity as we know it today. So the focus that I take is working with the business owners. It doesn't matter what size business you are, doesn't matter which industry you're in, I'm industry independent, to improve the results by making your existing resources work harder and better through management control systems, through the tactical training and helping management and supervisors and team leaders understand what is meant by management, not making people have to micromanage, but just giving them the skills to delegate, explain to employees what their expectations are, making sure that those expectations are aligned with the company strategy, so bringing sort of the top-down, bottom-up approach to organisations.
Mm. It's interesting, isn't it? We have this issue in the UK, according to all our government statistics, that we have very low productivity.
Yep.
My problem with that is I look around at how we work and I think, really? How do we manage that? Now, I think there's two completely separate issues here. This is my take on it, and you can deconstruct me in a minute. Mm-hmm. You can deconstruct me in a minute. I think there's two separate issues going on here. I think the productivity figures that the government collects at the moment are based on collecting the wrong thing. I think we're using a methodology, and this isn't a surprise because a lot of government or public sector organisation statistical collection is based on some out-of-date methodologies because they just haven't updated them for the 21st century in a new digital world. You know, because if you think about it, we have smartphones connected to the Agilis network that go all over the place. And the fact is, my phone goes off 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So I don't work 9 to 5. I might not work between 9 and 11 in the morning, and I might do a lot of work out of hours. Now, my understanding of the simplistic way that they collect productivity figures is to look at the cost of a product and its price in the market versus the labour hours that it took to produce. Yeah, that's what they look at. But they tend to do that based on a fixed view of people only working 35 hours a week. And I don't think that's actually accurate. So that I think the actual productivity figures that they collect are probably skewed and not right. However, where I think you come in and where we agree on this is you also see a lot of activity that's non-productive. And I think that's the key thing. Is that people do a lot of stuff that doesn't really result in any useful activity.
Yep.
Yeah? Useful. Is that fair?
Yep, I totally would agree with both of those strands.
Mm.
On your first point, the how the government is measuring productivity, yes, I can appreciate that at level of government, they're having to pull together a couple of 1.2 trillion companies' worth of data.
Mm.
But yes, you're right, and I've done a lot of research into the Bank of England statistics, the Office of National Statistics, they have shown that the hours worked is the wrong measurement, and I agree with this, because hours worked is just measuring utilisation.
Yep.
Efficiency is something completely different, and it ties in with the hours worked that you've just described. It's like, so we're not working 9 till 5 anymore. It doesn't matter what times we're working, whether you're working from 11 till 3 in the afternoon or 9 till 5 or midnight till 6 in the morning.
Mm.
It's not what hours you're working, it's what you're doing in those hours that you're being paid for.
Mm.
So I work with, in my clients' companies, on paid hours and what is the output that you're getting in those paid hours. Mm. And a lot of people associate that with, oh, that's only applicable in a manufacturing environment. Mm. Actually, it's applicable in any business. Mm. And the activity that is non-productive is where your efficiency or your productivity starts to drop below 100%. You're never going to get 100% productivity anyway, so there's always going to be a level of slack, but it's making sure that you have achieved standards of work within the time available to do that. So if you just pay somebody for an hour, you need to let that person know what you expect them to achieve in an hour.
Mm. Can I ask you a question? That kind of that kind of struck me here while you were saying that, because this is one of my things that we talk a lot about within the FSB, and when we're talking to government, and as you know, I'm on the regional board of the Bank of England. We talk a lot about these kind of things. The one of the issues I see, especially for small businesses, more and more government regulation, more and more red tape, more and more things to do that take up the time. Do you count that as productivity? It's work that has to be done, but it doesn't, in my humble opinion, doesn't get you any closer delivering the product or service that your enterprise exists for.
Well, that's where you need to start doing the analyses of what is the work that is actually taking place on the coalface, on the front line with the actual workers.
Yeah.
And one of my first steps in working with any business is let's define what you are doing today and why. How does that meet your overall business objective?
Yeah.
And how much of the non-productive time is impactable?
Yeah.
So I've got two terms, impactable and non-impactable.
Yep.
If it's something that we can take out and it doesn't need to happen and it's actually not adding any value to the process at all, great. We've just made you a little bit more productive because that person that is involved in that activity can actually do more of the objective reach targeted stuff.
Yep.
If it's non-impactable, it's important to measure it so that you understand how much it's influencing your levels of productivity, but you have to recognise and just accept that in the business today, we cannot do anything about that particular issue or that particular activity. It's got to be done. You know, arguably, you could say that any back office activity, the paper pushing stuff, if it can be automated through, I don't know, cloud-based IT systems, brilliant.
Mm.
Then you've got the argument that, but that starts driving people out of the businesses. Mm. And that is another factor that goes back to the government's measurements of productivity. How are you measuring all the stuff that is done through automation?
Mm.
And so the hours worked are going to be reducing because, we're actually bringing in more automated functions.
Well that's I tried a while back, a couple of months ago, I tried to dig down into this to see if I could definitively see what was actually happening with those productivity figures. And the measurement they used just was nonsensical. Every time I looked at it, I thought, but hold on. You would the more advanced your technology is, the less your productivity would be based on your measurement criteria. So actually, we should be celebrating the fall in productivity, not getting angst about it.
Yeah, no, because what you should then be doing in a business is actually increasing your expectation of an hour worked.
Yeah.
So if you've got a human resource, an operator working with more automated processes, then you would expect that company can actually produce
more
in the same time, in which case the output, which is the, you know, people get so hung up on the input, the time that we're putting into producing work, they're not actually measuring that against the output.
Yeah.
So productivity is a ratio, output over input.
Mm.
And if you're not putting out more for the hours that you're employing or paying, then your productivity is reducing. So the dynamics of how productivity is going to be achieved is changing in the, you know, from the technologies that are coming into play. But at a business level, out on the coalface, it's getting away from also measuring the pound signs and measuring the output. And that in itself can be quite a scary process for business owners who don't understand how to equate one product to another, which is a whole different conversation. So, what I'm trying to work with business owners on doing, and I work with them in their businesses on this, is outlining what are the workflows, what are the most productive ways of actually producing your or giving your service or product, and providing management levels, whether that's the first line, frontline supervisor, right up to the top executive board, the tools and the techniques to manage that appropriately.
Mm.
And a lot of going back to the the micromanagement scenario where people say, oh, you can't treat people like that, treat them like robots, you know, you can't just use numbers to manage people. No, you can't. But if you don't use that as an indication as to how things are going, then your business is not going to be as profitable as it should be, and your opportunity for improvement is gone.
Yeah.
So that is where I also involve all of the management levels in leadership and management development, which again is another big thing at government level at the moment. We are not upskilling management. We are not giving people who are promoted into new sort of management positions an understanding of what they need to do. And people have this perception that employees are going to feel that they're just being made into a number. I've got statistics to show that from surveys, people are actually admitting to wasting time at work, and that's up to an average is 2.5 hours. That's 33% of their working day. And when they were then asked, well, why do you waste time at work, they, you know, the reasons that are given is, well, I've just got no job satisfaction. That was 35% of the cause is because they feel that they're not being engaged with and they're not being involved, and they've got no idea really what their objectives are.
Sure.
And people think it is because, oh, that, you know, they're not going to work hard enough because it's a pay issue. Only 2% of a 1,000-person survey identified that they didn't, or they wasted time because they felt they weren't paid enough.
And do you also, I mean, this is just my guess. I have no evidence for this whatsoever.
Well, I might have some.
Yeah, yeah, you might do. But I'm assuming, based on the pattern that I see of people at work, of course, one of the issues is we are constantly connected. Yeah, my phone pings all the time. Yeah, with all the different platforms I'm on and all the rest of it. And I could turn it off if I want to, but I don't, because it might be something interesting. So if you're at work doing one thing and your phone goes off, you end up, you know, answering a Facebook post, you know, sending a tweet, updating your LinkedIn profile. None of those are anything to do with your work.
That is true lost time.
Yeah,
in the Alluxi terminology, and time thieves. But if that person isn't focused and isn't being given fair factual objectives by their manager, then they're being allowed to do whatever they want to. And if nobody's pulling them up on the fact that, sorry, you can't spend an hour and a half on Facebook to your mates, or, you know, pinging tweets to Paul Andrews sitting at the business.
No, you can. Don't listen to her. Yeah.
Then that employee, and it's funnily, I've got a blog series going out at the moment that I've termed the Great British Productivity Swindle, or the Great Productivity Swindle, which was actually off the back of the Bank of England's Lessons on a Plate. Have you seen that?
Yeah.
Great little article. And I've got three painful truths, which is, one is the business not providing the correct systems, the processes and the tools for managers to manage. The second is the managers who aren't trained and aren't upskilled to give them, you know, the techniques to be able to manage employees, and they lack the proper skills to communicate and delegate. And the third is the employees who, because of the lack of what the business and the management are giving them, have no idea what's expecting of them, and so they will work in whichever way they feel best. And if that means that they're allowed to sit on Facebook or social media, or even read the newspaper, or bugger off for, you know, five smoke breaks, which might take 15 minutes each because you've got to go 3 miles down the road to have a fag, then that is going to be seen at the culture of the business as acceptable.
It's interesting, isn't it? Because one of the things I see, and I like what you were saying about management techniques here, because this is where the core of it actually comes down. What you actually see too much of, though, is management techniques that are put in place to try and prevent people doing anything, which is where this computer say no situation starts to arise, because they go, sorry mate, I can't, you know, it says here that I'm not allowed to deviate from this. And part of that stems from a discredited approach in the 1950s by Taylor with his specialization in manufacturing, where he made all the jobs, you know, rote jobs, where somebody went poof and somebody else went poof, and they very quickly discovered that that demotivated people more than anything.
Absolutely.
And there's nothing wrong with specialization, but you've got to be a bit broader than just, you know.
And that arises when a business determines that they don't want to lose control of key things. I mean, I've just had massive rows with Vodafone over the last couple of months.
Easily done.
Yeah, my account was hacked, fraudulent activity, and I ended up with a massive amount of billing going through my account that shouldn't have been. And I was on the phone to Vodafone, and I rant as much as you do, Paul, believe it or not.
Really?
Yeah. And about four of the operators that I was speaking to did not have or weren't empowered to give me a credit. And until I got to about the fifth one, and that person for some reason did have the power to give me credit. And that is all working out. One is the workflows, two, empowerment. But empowerment means that the business needs to have the KPIs, the key performance indicators, in place to monitor and measure, so that if the employee does, God forbid, do one thing not allowed, incorrect, then there are the mechanisms in place for the manager to go back and review that particular issue with the employee and improve the way that they do it, or give them the chance to learn. So that takes time and energy from management, which is why I personally believe there isn't enough of that, because we're not skilling the managers to be able to do those small review, very high frequency, maybe on a daily basis on frontline supervision. But people get really screwed up about, I can't keep sitting in all these meetings. Well, one, it doesn't have to be a meeting. It's a touch point that might take you 2 or 3 minutes. But every employee, under my methodology, will have a touch point once a day minimum, if not twice a day, depending on how quickly they can actually get out of control. And so that forms part of a management control system. And if managers aren't doing that, then it begs the question, why are you paying managers?
Exactly. And one of the things that strikes me, I was in a rant with another organisation the other day about a failure of customer service. And again, it always comes down to the same issue. It's always the same issue. Their processes don't match what the customer needs or want under a certain circumstances.
Yeah.
And we actually had a conversation about, because all I said is, all it requires is an exception process that says, hold on a minute, this doesn't fit what it says on my screen. So therefore, it should go off to someone that can make a value judgment on what's going on here.
And improve the the process.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And that requires, one, information, summaries, what was the main cause of problems today, and then two, four, I was counting on my hand there, communication.
Yeah.
A manager and employees or teams need to be sitting down, reviewing the information and deciding what can we do something about today. And gradually, in small incremental steps, you will get that continual improvement process.
Absolutely.
Which needs to be a constant state. And this is why I prefer to call this an evolutionary process in business, not change management.
Just talking about communication, I was telling someone about this the other day, and it's probably a good point to raise my little story again. You know, many years ago, I worked as a management consultant, and I was doing a consultancy assignment with a very large organization. And the staff kept saying to me, yeah, but the problem is our manager just inputs the wrong data every single week. And I've gone, why don't you tell her? And they go, we tell her every Friday in the meeting, and she ignores us. Really? Yeah. Really? So I think, I'm going to go to the next meeting. So I go to the meeting, and they're all sat there, and they go through the agenda of the meeting. They come to the end, and the manager says, any other business? And the girl that was telling me this looks at me as if to go, here we go. And she went, someone around here is putting in the wrong data. And the manager went, really? And he went, yeah. Well, that's not good. She went, no. Anyway, that's the end of the meeting.
Right. That would suggest that the manager themselves are not being managed.
Yeah. No, but also you've got this thing that the staff think they're telling you something, but they're not. You know.
Didn't say who was. Yeah. Like.
You know. If she said, they're not Linda, you're not doing it properly, and Linda would go, "Am I not? Why?" But it's someone round here.
The way that people communicate.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that is part of my process. I coach people as we start to implement the meetings or the touch points, whatever you want to call them, in the businesses. Management system.
Yeah,
it's right. I sit down. We work out meeting plans. Who needs to be talking to two and when and what about? I brief, and part of the coaching process. I'm not a coach. I'm a consultant. Part of the coaching process is working out what do you need to achieve in these meetings? How is that going to happen?
Yeah.
And developing people's ability to actually communicate about the right things and actually possibly talk about the elephant in the room, which once you get it out on the table, isn't such a big. Or the magnitude of that problem isn't normally as, you know, wide as people imagine it to be.
Now, I'm going to say this, not you, but you might have a view on this. One of the things that I see an awful lot, especially with smaller businesses and early stage startup businesses, is that they do things and they engage in things without ever thinking about how close it will get them to where they need to be in terms of whatever their product or service is. You know, so here's an example. So you get people who's got a product or service, and they'll go to endless networking meetings, and you go, Have you ever met anyone at one of these meetings that is a potential customer? Because when I look at it with, you know, I don't know, I'll make up an example, you know, you're selling guns and everybody there is a flower arranger. Do you know, that's a stupid example, but do you know what I mean?
Yes.
You know, it's not as clear cut as that, and that's why there's a problem. But quite often people don't really look at what they're doing, and you're going, do you not see that the product or service you offer isn't in the right demographic for where you're going to try and sell this? And the reason you're going to these meetings is because they're easy. Yeah. Not because it's where you need to be.
Yeah, and also because people, when they do get onto the networking circuit, feel that they have to be there, and there's this fear of missing out syndrome, the FOMO effect.
Yeah.
And this is where, if you have a robust business plan to start with, which 9 times out of 10 and businesses, the startup businesses that I consult to, go hand on heart, no, I haven't got a business plan, then how are you going to get your, you know, what is your A to Z? And without that business plan, you don't have a focus. If you've got a business plan, you can start to break down and work out how that annual or 3-year plan will break down into what do you need to do next week or today, and bring that down to the grassroots. How many clients do I need to be getting in front of? Where are they? And how much do I hope that they would buy from me on a day-to-day basis?
It never ceases to amaze me,
or me,
that, that people don't do the most basic analysis of anything that they're doing, you know. Talking to people, and you go, you know, well, what's your business? Da-da-da-da-da. Okay. What are you going to do to earn a living? Well, a business. Well, hold on a minute. Even if you sold one of these every day at £10, you're only going to make £4,000 a year.
Yeah.
And they go, yeah, but I'll sell more. And you go, no. But there's not enough hours in the day to do it. It just doesn't work out.
And that is where you also need to help start helping them define, or I work with companies to define, what is your resource requirement that you're going to have. If you double your sales tomorrow, do you have the resources in the business to actually produce or provide that service or product? And that is also still sort of comes of a bit of a shock. Oh, no, well, I'd need to have 2 or 3 people. Well, how long does it take to recruit people? That could be a 2 to 3 month lead time to get an advert out there. And I was actually promoting jobs in Kent to a client of mine last week.
Thank you.
Get them interviewed, find the right person. Just, you know, have you even got a job profile of what you want that person to do when they come into the business? And very often I hear people say, yeah, we might get somebody in for 1 or 2 days a week. Well, that's 8 or 16 hours. How many hours do you actually need to be paying? And this goes back to understanding what standard of work you're going to put in. If you don't, and I'm talking about standards in the good old-fashioned sense of the word, you know, let's say one bottle of wine takes you 2.5 hours to produce. So if you want to make 150,000 of those, you need a workforce of 50 full-time employees. That's a bit of an exaggeration, but that's
absolutely. Yeah.
Without standards, you cannot determine how much resource you need. And that is another factor why we've been diluting the productivity, because people have been, companies have been throwing hours, man hours, or, you know, labor at the problem, rather than sitting down and consciously working out what is the capacity that they want to produce and what are the resources required to handle that.
And the effective deployment of resources.
That would, if you have standards, you'll be surprised how much more work you can get out of somebody and how much more job satisfaction they'll get out of it, because they're not sitting there twiddling their thumbs and finding themselves non-work stuff to do.
Because you can automate processes that are boring that you don't need.
Exactly. Well, on the process factor, you just mentioned the olden days of people standing on a line doing the same thing for 8 hours a day.
Yeah.
I did a visit with the Institute of Directors to brilliant cook kitchen up in Sittingbourne, Dale Penfold, brilliant little frozen food output. They rotate their staff every 40 minutes. So somebody will only be doing the same thing for 40 minutes. It's got a great little workforce up there, and that was a brilliant little manufacturing environment, which have really got it, you know,
nailed
as to how to give, you know, employees a much better job, you know, work environment.
Absolutely. We could talk about this subject forever. Good. Sadly, we're running out of time, but people can talk to you if they want to, because you will be at the Grow Kent conference on Thursday.
Exhibiting tomorrow.
Yeah.
And
no, you won't. You'll be there on Thursday.
Thursday.
So you've got birds of fiction.
Setting up tomorrow. Yeah. And at the Grow Kent, I can give people an outline of my leadership and management development program that I'm actually launching as a standalone course.
Right.
Very different to, this is not sitting in a classroom,
right,
hearing me spouting PowerPoint presentations. This will give business owners all their managers and their executives, or right down to their frontline supervisors, the tools and techniques to become better managers and understand how to put management control systems into their own business. So if that's something that you're interested in hearing more about, you can contact me on linda@aluxi.co.uk. Aluxi is A-L-L-U-X-I. Or my mobile is 07717221368.
Fantastic. And what's your stand number at, how do we find you at?
Four. There's only 20 of us there.
Number four.
Really?
Stand four.
Yeah, stand four.
Straight
through
the door, I'm
Yeah, because it's a conference rather than an exhibition.
Exactly,
so, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So you will find Linda there. So do go and speak to Linda if you're interested in the kind of things you're doing. And here's a little tip. You are interested in the kind of things she's doing because you should be. If you're in business, you should be talking to her because it is important. And I see far too many small businesses that really don't get this and they really need to get it. Linda, we could talk about this forever.
Thank you.
Here Sorry we've run out of time. Thank you so much for joining us on the Business Punk Show again. It's been an absolute pleasure to have you here. So that's Linda Gossier from Aluxi Consulting. Do follow her on the Twitter, look at her website, and come and meet her at the Grow Kent Conference. We've had loads more tweets. I'm not going to get through them all because we've got to finish up now. Camarglio, how nice when we're joining him on the Business Bunker Show, supporting British SMEs. Camarglo offer digital communication consulting and management services. And that's C-O-M-M-A-R-G-L-O is their name. And that's their Twitter handle as well, Camarglo. Have you got any more tweets?
I've just got one email, and this is the winter warmers, and these are all at 3 till 5 in the afternoon. The members pay £16 plus VAT. Non-members pay £20 plus VAT. Now, this is the last chance to book for a Christmas-themed networking special. Hey, enjoy a winter warmer-style afternoon tea to include a selection of sandwiches, mince pies, mulled wine, tea and coffee. The speaker is Nick Dermott from Thanet District Council. Do you want to say anything about that? This is Dreamland Margate.
That sounds good.
Yeah, I think so. So here's this thing. 3 till 5, Winter Warmers on Wednesday 29th of November, and that's at Westgate on Sea. And the speaker is Karen Pengelly from Royal Tunbridge Wells Together, speaking on the Tunbridge Wells bid and what it means to business. On Wednesday the 29th of November, that's the Mercure Tunbridge Wells Hotel. And then the speaker there is Gemma Sharp of Lourdane Learning. And then Thursday the 30th of November, and that's the Best Western Manor, and that's at Gravesend.
Fantastic. Thank you, Bird.
Pleasure.
We've got one last tweet I'm going to read out, which is from eVision, eVision underscore EV Rent, and they rent electric vehicles, especially Teslas. Ooh. And they say, we can help you with your electric car hiring. So I do have a look at that. I have 300 more tweets. I've got no time to read them out. I have just had a message from Amanda who says to remind everybody that it's the Business Bunker Extra Show this Friday. At 11 o'clock, and the co-host is Molly Wright, Molly Moodle Media. So do tune in for that this Friday, 11 o'clock, here on Biz Radio. And the guest is Laura from Tenterton Twilight, or Tenterton Toilets on the Twitter, she is, bless her. So that's good. No, thank you, that's all right. That's all right, I'm getting messages to do this. So the guest is Laura from Tenterton Twilight, and really interesting lady. And a really interesting show that's going to be the Business Bunker Extra Show on Friday. It just leaves me to tell you what's coming up on Channel Radio for the rest of today. At 4 o'clock, we have the lovely Natalie Bonnag with Kent Creative Live, or the Kent Creative Show. And she's got web designer and photographer Neil Brown from Beam 23 and Audrey Chapman from Love Selling. And they're on the show today at 4 p.m. And they talk about their journey and psychology behind selling, especially in the creative businesses. And then at 5 o'clock, we have the ladies' favourite, Mr. Craig Avery, him of the Stripy Socks, with 2 hours of celebrity interviews and music. That is followed at 7 by the Rockabilly Show with Mr. Joey Whaler. And then at 8 o'clock, it's the Business Bunker Show. It's the repeat of today's show at 8 o'clock this evening. And then, as always, we round off the evening here on Channel Radio at 10 o'clock with... Whoops.
It's Club Culture with Boy George.
1, 2, 3, get down!
Full drum beat and a squidgy bass, I give you Vanilla Ace and it rhymes. That means I'm right on time. Welcome to Club Culture where I control my very own dance universe. 1 hour or more of grooving delectables for your disco pleasure. I'm Boy George.
nights, 1 hour of delectable, delicious dance music. It's Club Culture with Boy George on Channel Radio.
So as always on a Tuesday, we finish off with the wonderful Mr. Boy George with the Club Culture Show here on Channel Radio at 10 o'clock. I want to say a big thank you to today's show guest, the lovely Tina George from Agilis Mobile, the equally lovely Linda Garcia from Aluxi Consulting, my wonderful co-host, Miss on a bike.
Thank you.
Bird.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you all for listening to the Business Bunker Show. We'll be back with you next week for another Business Bunker Show. In the meantime, have a great week. Don't forget the Business Bunker Extra Show on Friday. And we'll see you all soon. Bye for now.
Bye. Bye.
Thank you.
This is Channel 2.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
With the...